This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to episode 253 of the Down to Dunk Podcast. I'm Luke, and I'm joined this morning by Jay and Andrew, who's in the other room getting me a glass of water.
You know, it's a three-man pod.
Three-man pod.
Which is one less than a four-man pod.
Also, Jay got a new dog, and so you'll...
Us responding to him or him yelping, barking, doing something annoying.
So be aware.
Remind me next time that puppies are not easy. But you know what? He's cute, and our family loves him.
And he will be a dog someday.
He will be a full dog.
He will be, won't he?
And he'll
also
be huge.
Talk like that throughout the pod.
Hey, so I think it's worth mentioning that the NBA Finals has turned into a series.
Oh, boy.
And not just a series.
A rigged series.
A series where I have actually begun to think the Cavs may win this.
I have no clue what's going to happen in Game 7.
No idea.
I mean, I honestly thought that the Warriors were going to win in five. I just thought, you know what? Even without Green, they're going to put it together. They did not. And they have looked rattled. Like, Steph Curry, like, he hit a ton of shots last night. His offensive game was going. But he fouled out of the game.
And
then he chunked his mouthpiece at a fan in the crowd.
If it was a regular season game or an earlier playoff game, there's a chance he may have been suspended.
There's a chance.
I think there still might be a
chance. No, there is zero way they suspend Steph Curry for game 7.
I wish they would, though.
No way.
It's just not the way Adam Silver operates. He's inconsistent, but he's inconsistent in that he is looking for the best product. The only reason Draymond Green got suspended was because it really didn't matter. But if things matter, I mean, you've seen whenever it's time to actually enforce the rules, he won't do it.
And I think there is a part of it where they were trying to actually teach Draymond a lesson. Like, it's out of control with Draymond. And after the last series with the Thunder, whenever he did, you know, multiple things that could have deserved some sort of suspension, like, he couldn't not respond. Is my opinion, right? Because there was even one, like the Draymond. So one nut shot was completely accidental. Like the layup where his knee went up. That one is like, man, that's a play.
Yeah,
the kick I thought was unnecessary, flagrant, obviously.
But it was ridiculous.
Worthy of a suspension. And then in game, I don't know if it was 6 or 7, where he full arm took Steven Adams down, or Cantor, or whoever it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's one of those things where they couldn't, you know, Kiki Vandeweghe, I think, is the one who is their disciplinarian, which, you know, I'm sure for a case like Draymond's, he's dealing directly with Adam Silver on these. And for me, I can't believe that he would see it again and be like, we can't just sit here anymore. And so he was out game 5, and the Cavs went into Golden State and beat him pretty handily. Like, and there's substantial things that are going on that are going to impact this game on Sunday night. Number one is there, I don't know, I never saw the severity of Bogut's knee, like what they ended up saying, but he was out last night, and it'd be hard for me to see him.
Well, they've already said he's out for this.
He's out for the rest of the series.
Yeah,
okay.
He's done.
And then, but the really bad one is last night, Andre Iguodala's back is not good.
It's tightened up.
And he was still shooting well, but he if he can't move the way he normally does.
He jumped maybe once after his back went out.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. I mean, he was the reason why Durant struggled so badly.
He's the reason the game before, so Durant, LeBron, he's guarding a lot of LeBron. He guarded Russ at times to really give him fits. And man, he's the MVP of the finals last year.
He's their best perimeter defender by far.
But the story of this series has turned into LeBron James still being the man.
He was incredible. I mean, you can't even watch this entire series, not even last just last night's game. But this whole series and not believe that, I mean, if you plop somebody that's never watched the game before and had them watch it, they would say,
who's the best player in the world?
He's the best player in the world by far. Like, there's not even any question.
No.
In this series, he's the best player. And he's just proven that, like, his passing, his physicality, his ability is just maybe the smartest basketball player in the world. Like, he just is still the best.
And his greatness is on a level with anybody that's ever played the game. That's the reminder. Like, it's not that he's just good in an era of bad basketball, which is a lot of what people say of Steph and blah, 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 which is a bad argument anyway. Steph's an incredible basketball player.
He's very good.
But LeBron is like maybe top five of all time in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to walk through that list because it's a wide list and you start dealing with John reverse John. Who in the 70s Dr. J would have been able to defend? Like, I'm not going down that argument. But his skill set and who he is completely as a basketball player is unmatched in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
Nobody is as physically gifted as he is and also can pass and score and defend the way that he does.
He had the Warriors so afraid in the paint. That last Curry where he tried to trick him and LeBron just didn't fall for it and he just blocked the heck out
and then
of
just
him.
Just stared at
and
him.
Just like, and then just trash talked him. It was the best. Which it was so great.
I'm not a LeBron fan, and I felt like I am a LeBron fan, but I'm not like a huge, like, oh my gosh, LeBron. But
you don't have a
It's not like my Durant or
you don't
my
have
Russell,
a jersey.
Right? Yeah, and so, but to watch him post game four when he stepped over Draymond, which he did, and then Draymond, you know, slapped him in the testicles.
Yep.
And they all kind of subsequently after that, and our guy, Al Baby Cakes, Alex Spears, just destroyed the Warriors on Twitter for a few days. But all of the Warriors like made it into this LeBron's a baby argument. And for LeBron to come back and go, what did he go for, 41 and 41 back-to-back games or something like that, and just controlled the game in every facet. Was just sweet, sweet vindication for him, and man,
he was amazing.
It's a coin flip. I mean, I think that most people would say that it's the Warriors' game to lose, but they're gonna have a ton of pressure on them. Bogut's out. If Iguodala's not 100%, that's a huge deal because LeBron started having his way 2 games ago. He was posting up and finishing, shooting.
His jumper's back.
Yeah, and that's bad news for the world. It's and really Kyrie's bad. Played well.
Kyrie's been really good. Jarrett Smith is hitting his shots. I think he hit 4 out of 10 last night. Dude, Tristan Thompson.
He's been tremendous.
Like the absence of Bogut, people are like, oh, it's not going to really matter that much. But just even like the 16 minutes that he does play are minutes where Tristan Thompson isn't dominating because he is a bigger body. He's a really smart player. He's their best rim defender. And with him gone, that's a big deal because he just destroys them. I think he had 7 or 8 rebounds in the first quarter in which they held the Warriors to 11 points, which is the lowest point total in a quarter ever.
For them or for the finals?
For the NBA finals.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
They were unbelievable in that first quarter.
Just insane. Tristan was so good.
My deal with that conversation is you can discredit Bogut. Oh, Bogut's only playing 10 minutes a night or whatever. When he, like, your rotation is messed up. And there's no question Bogut is still better than Azeli. And Azeli's better than Varejao, right? And so those are the guys that are taking those 2 minutes, and they're not playing a lot.
No, Azeli played 14 minutes last night.
Varejao played probably 8.
He played, almost 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Azeli looked kind of lost.
Yeah.
I don't know. He has not been impressive at all in these playoffs.
I still feel like Azeli and Barnes, which Barnes has been...
Oh my gosh.
Awful.
He only played 16 minutes last night. He was almost unplayable.
Awful.
He was horrible.
Every shot is a fast break for the Cavs.
Yeah. He was 0 of 8 last night, 0 of 5 from 3. He only had 2 rebounds.
Which I'd been screaming for the last, and I still think it's going to happen. Somebody's going to pay that man.
because he's going to get paid.
It's that, you know, I remember vividly when the Boston Celtics won their first championship that, was it James Posey?
Yeah.
That was their wing defender and blah, blah, blah. And after that, I can't remember who it was, the Pelicans or somebody. Somebody ended up paying that man.
It was the New Orleans Hornets.
Yeah, the Hornets.
Yeah.
And they paid him a ton of money to come. And it just was like, he just...
The difference is that Posey was like 30 something.
Yeah.
And Barnes, like, he's only 23, but he's just not shown to be that good. Like, I'm look for this later. I'm putting out a piece about him and comparing him to Jeff Green. And it's really kind of shocking to look at the numbers because you would think that his defense is much better or that, but. I won't spoil it, but take a look at that later on Vayner Sports. We'll tweet it out. But yeah, Barnes has really struggled, and he just doesn't look comfortable. He can't pass. He just has looked really bad.
Now, are you comparing them at the same age, the same time in their career?
No, I'm just comparing their production this season, which is, and there's tons of qualifiers within it for sure. But he's been bad. Sean Livingston was pretty ineffective last night, only 1 of 6. The only guy that really got off besides Curry and Clay, and Clay wasn't even that good.
Leandro Barbosa.
He had 14 points off the bench. And he was basically, they basically just played 7 guys. And it was Livingston and Barbosa off the bench that played a majority of minutes that were meaningful.
Something that's weird to me. Number one, Kevin Love got a third foul early in the second quarter, and it was a horrible foul.
It was not.
They called a block on him, and Draymond, like, it was just weird. Draymond missed the shot, and they called a foul, basically.
Draymond, like, brushed his shorts, mm-hmm. and they called a foul on him. It was ridiculous.
But if you looked at Kevin Love, what's strange, and this is why it's like, I don't know what it means for his future in Cleveland. Like, every time he makes a shot, the whole team, like, rejoices and tries to, like, pump him up. Like,
right.
Good job, Kevin. You're so good. Keep doing what you're doing. We need you. It's like this.
They do need him, man.
They do need him. But in the end, it's like, what happened, Kevin? Like, has he mentally been so beat up this year and last year that he needs this constant... Tristan Thompson being so excited, like his dad watching him play.
I would say it's been his whole career that he's needed that. You've just never noticed because you've never had like the amount of success that the Cavs had. I think he's...
I don't know, man. Like he was putting up...
Something's
like
different.
30. Man. He put up a 30-30 game.
Dude, that like triple overtime game against the Thunder, was that 3 or 4 years ago when he was in Minnesota? It's not like Kevin Love has ever been a bad basketball player.
I know, but he was getting... Incredible. He got used to that sort of like, you're the best player. And well, so now he still needs that ego.
I think you're right in the fact that he's also trying to figure out how to be the third piece. Or fourth piece.
Being the third guy... In a three-ring superstar, like that is the hardest thing to do, especially if you've been the best player on another team. Like
sure.
Chris Bosh, like that wasn't a seamless transition for him.
Yeah.
It took him a while. And then people just talk trash on you the whole time in the media. Like, oh, what's happened to Chris Bosh? Chris Bosh isn't any good anymore. Well, it just turns out that he just took a lesser role to be a part of something bigger. And, you know, that's why James Harden is not in Oklahoma City anymore. Yeah. He didn't want to be that guy.
And I think you also look at Chris Bosh and his skill set. I think you had to be a very specific player to be the third piece with two wings, which also goes back to the Harden trade, right? Like, you have to be a guy that can defend well. Like, Bosh was the perfect third guy because he defends well. He can shoot when needed, but it's not one of those things where he needs the ball in his hand to be effective or a part of that team.
That's why in that equation, Serge Ibaka is the perfect third.
Yeah. Or now Steven Adams.
Right, yeah. Like they're both cut from the same cloth, really good at defense, can make shots when you need them to, don't need the ball.
Yeah, and I think the only thing that would maybe separate those two, just looking at this year in a vacuum, is the fact that Serge seems to be more mentally impacted by not getting the ball within the flow of the offense more. He doesn't need it as far as he's not a ball-dominant player. But that's why I like Steven Adams. Steven Adams, like, when I get the ball, fine. When I don't, fine. I'll defend the crap out of it. I'll set screens.
Yeah, he really doesn't care.
I'll fly to the rim. Like, my game is not... my game is not predicated on getting the ball every time. And Serge, it just felt like this year, maybe because he was out of the flow of the offense a little more than he was used to, it maybe affected him mentally on defense and everywhere else. And so, but Kevin Love, he's not that guy. Like, he's not a rim protector. He's not really, like, he's a decent rebounder, but compared to Tristan Thompson and
how he's a good rebounder.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, he's not. When he was with Minnesota, it was a 2020. He was a 2020 guy, and some of that's because he was the only guy rebounding. It's just hard when he's not really tall, and he's not super athletic, right? And so he works on those small lineups, but then he can't defend the rim against them when they're going to the rim. And so it's a weird fit against the Warriors. And I think you said it last week, because if this was a series against the Spurs or a lot of other teams, he would be playing way more minutes.
Yeah. I mean, he still averaged 9 rebounds a game. I mean, he's a good rebounder. He's just he's just exploited against this Warriors team, and then last night foul trouble, and then it just kind of hurts his stock whenever they go on to just smash this team without him, basically, because he only played 11 minutes last night.
It was like 3 or 4 seasons ago, he was considered like the 4th best player in the league.
Yeah, people thought he was the best power forward in the NBA.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was here's his skill set. He can shoot. He's a great rebounder. He can pass. Like, he's the ultimate offensive wing. And the league has changed since
then.
That's
the big deal.
Is that, and back then, if you were a tweener forward, you were basically not playing. Like, if you were Draymond Green, you basically just weren't playing.
Yeah.
Like,
because you couldn't guard the bigs. You couldn't.
You're not big. Yeah, you're not big enough, and then you're not fast enough to guard guys on perimeter. And Draymond Green is obviously both of those. But there's a lot of tweeners that play now.
Yeah. I love the fact that Draymond has just got trashed last night. He got trashed.
He hasn't. I mean, the truth is that these last two series, that Draymond Green hasn't been very good. You know, like, when they're on offense, he's been neutralized by LeBron James and Kevin Durant. And whenever those guys have been put on him, he just hasn't been as effective. Like, he's not getting their team into their offense. Like, they're not able to run off as many screens and set up their offense. He's been mostly ineffective. He had one game where he got loose here against Cleveland, but when LeBron guards him, he's been neutralized. Like, he's just... Like, he's a good player, but he's not like this top flight elite guy. Like, there is a difference. Like, he is on a different tier than the LeBrons and the Kevin Durants and the Steph Currys.
Yeah,
and
he's not going to go to the Sixers and be their cornerstone.
No, he's a great role player, but
like,
he's not
maybe the best role player in the NBA.
Yeah, he's maybe one of the best defenders in the league, but like, still, like, he. When it comes time to like play against these top flight guys, like, he just hasn't shown up.
Yeah, so. And what's weird about that kind of continuing that is neither really has Steph.
He was, I mean, I thought
he was good last night, except for the total meltdown, right?
Well, and I mean, his fouls were stupid too.
Yeah, like, some of them were really.
He's
dumb.
Like reaching in, like, he's got 4 fouls and he's reaching in to get the ball. Like, what are you doing, Steph Curry?
I think it goes down to show one of the downfalls of this all time team is the fact that they play very arrogant, and they play as if they're going to win the game in one play. So, for example, and the reason is because they have. Like, they
exactly.
do. They it's make they, these shots.
They championship.
Get these things, right? Yeah. They've won the championship. And throughout the season especially. But there was one time where I think the Cavs were up 10 and the Warriors had scored 6 straight, you know. And Steph comes down and shoots an early shot clock, kind of contested 35-foot three-pointer.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the flow of the game, like, that's a natural shot. And the reason is they were trying to get back into, like, he knew if he made that shot – it changes the game.
Yep.
Well, the truth is when you don't make it, it actually just starts the other team's movement going on offense,
things can
fast
unravel.
Break movements. And so, anyway, I think that game 7's a coin toss. I'm going to pick the Cavs, which is nuts. I like what they've done, and I love LeBron. I think win or lose, he's the MVP of the series.
He should be. Who else would it be? You know,
nobody. Kyrie, right? Like, somebody else from the Cavs. Nobody from the Warriors.
Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, right. He's been great too, man. It's nuts.
I don't. I mean, to me, I feel like kind of the personality of this Warriors team is summarized in the moment that Steph Curry fouled out, because when he fouled out, like, he just exploded. Like, the arrogance of this Warriors team.
Like, how dare you call a foul on me?
Yeah, I mean, he was cussing him out. He threw his mouthpiece at a fan, and he took his time getting off the court and acted like he still owned the place. And it's like, I mean, that's how the Warriors have been, because they kind of have owned the NBA this whole, you know, calendar year. They've owned the NBA, but, like, whenever he was knocked off like that, it was kind of like, wow, like, that's like, you were being a big baby. And then Ayesha Curry gets on Twitter,
and his wife gets on Twitter
and acts like this whole thing has been rigged. Like, are you kidding? And then Steve Kerr talks about the officiating after the game. Like, wow, like, really, you guys? Okay. I mean, they're probably going to get, I mean, I think they're all going to get fined.
They should absolutely all
get fined. And it's just like,
I think Steph's going to get fined $50,000. One $25,000 for the mouthpiece and one $25,000 for his wife.
Yeah, probably so. And I just don't know. I don't. The part of me that, I mean, most of me thinks the Warriors are going to win. But what makes me think they won't is just their reactions to stuff like that. Like, just the way they react. It's just like, no, I deserve to be on this court. And why are you doing this to me, kind of deal? Whenever you put yourself in a position like that, you know, fouls get called.
And I think that there was a lot of debate on whether that was a foul or not. And I get that it could have been a no call on the second one, but he slapped his arm the first time.
Yeah. I mean, and there had been several instances where he could have been called for fouls earlier too, where he's just like reaching in and gambling. And like, refs sometimes know whenever they miss a call, and they're like, okay, I'll get him in a minute. And man, I don't know. I had supreme confidence in this Warriors team, but LeBron woke up, and that is freaking scary. And also, now they're missing Bogut, and you have Tristan Thompson, who's going to dominate the boards. Like, you're not asking Tristan Thompson to do something that he, you know, can't do again. Like, he can come in and grab 16 boards again. And then LeBron just destroys this team with his passing. Like, he was able to basically create whatever shot he wanted. He basically got Tristan Thompson 6 dunks last night. And
yeah, that
he was great.
Run of plays where he was penetrating and throwing alley-oops to Tristan. Like, plus Cleveland fans, I want them to win.
If they got, I mean, it would be huge. Either way, the storylines are massive.
Because you know that after game 4, they thought,
this is it.
And we're not going to see them play again.
It's like, again.
So it came back for game 6.
Yeah.
Number one, I love their freaking shirt.
Those are cool.
The CLE with the black and, what is that, maroon or whatever?
Yeah, that's cool.
Anyway. And they're just jacked, man. And they've always been good fans. You know, like, anyway, even when they burned his jerseys when he left.
They're just passionate.
They're just passionate. So, but Luke, who do you think?
I'm going to give it, I want the Cavs to win. That's what I want.
There's like an argument within the Thunder universe as to who we should want to win the game.
And sure.
Like, oh, we should want the Warriors to win because then we lose to the champions. Like, you know
what? Don't care.
I don't care about that at all.
Yeah, I don't care either.
I just want to see the Warriors lose.
Right.
That's all I want to see. It's more of like a personal thing. It's something in my heart that
Not
I want to see.
Not a question.
just after watching them all season, like, they're the most arrogant team. And then whenever somebody else like does something, like LeBron just stepped over Draymond, and then they like cry like babies about it. And they're like, oh, well, he's being a crybaby. He's doing this, and he's being like, it's like, really? Like, you do this, you guys do this stuff every game.
Every game.
Every game. You're you know, kicking people in the nuts, shoving people, you know.
And I think, without a question, if you were to get some truth out of the Thunder players, they would want the Cavs to win too.
Oh, I think so. I think the whole league is rooting for the Cavs.
Yeah, I don't think people like the Warriors. And I think that's part of the greatest team, people don't like the greatest team kind of thing. Like,
of course.
People hate the Patriots. People hate Alabama.
Oh, I just think that the playoffs have shown the character of the team, and it's kind of a bunch of like entitled babies.
And I think it's different. So a yeah. lot of people, a lot of people said, well, every team, every great team was arrogant. Like, not like this.
I don't know. I mean,
there's an arrogance that is like, we're going to go out there and we're going to kick your butt.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
like Kobe Bryant, Shaq, even some way right. in those finals. Jordan, obviously, not the Spurs. They don't count because they're just like,
right.
thank you for
but they would just like look at their opponent and be like, I'm going to kill you right now.
Yes.
Like you're dead. We're going to win this championship
I'm
right
the
now.
Great, I'm the best player on the court.
Right. But then like the Warriors are looking to the crowd and they're
here's the difference.
Their arrogance and the way they yell at the refs and like everything. Like they just feel like they deserve everything.
I would say that while the Warriors are arrogant, those other teams, that's confidence. I wouldn't say that's arrogant.
At least on the court, they were all arrogant, all of those guys, which most NBA players are. They're all arrogant on some level, right? Yeah. And Jordan, if you remember his, I don't know if it was retirement, the Hall of Fame speech, it was like the most arrogant, dumb speech I've ever heard. Yeah. It's just like trashing all the people that he beat and like.
It's like.
Like, okay, buddy.
It's like almost like anti-humans.
We get you, man. See, we get it. You're a billionaire. You're the greatest basketball player of all time. Stop being a douche.
I just think it's the entitlement that is just like, just kills me. Like Draymond Green, after he like basically shoves LeBron, like he is screaming at the referee and complaining to him for like 3 minutes straight.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even understand that mentality, but like they just really do believe that everything should be theirs, and whenever it's not, that it's not like they just go and play. Like they will run their mouths, and like that is, I mean, that's just infuriating.
Guys, shall we move on to our next segment?
Yeah, it's probably good to do that.
We got a new song for the segment. It is Off Season Studies. Shout out to at Cody Son of Steve for that drop, which I hope we add in, because if we don't, I'm going to sound really stupid. But this is where we each are assigned a player a week, and we talk about what they need to look into this summer to make them a better basketball player. Doesn't necessarily, it could be another basketball player they have to watch, could be a movie, could be a book. Andrew, you're going first. You have Andre Roberson.
So the NBA players I feel like he should study are two guys that are retired, so he'll have to go to the film for this. Jason Kidd and Bruce Bowen. So both these guys could, early on in their careers, were basically non-shooters, and they both developed a spot-up three-point game. And I want him to just go watch film of their entire career. I want him to watch Jason Kidd and Bruce Bowen just clank as many three-pointers as they did. I want him to see it. I want him to see that it's possible to go from literally an atrocious shooter to somebody that is hitting near 40% from three. But this is possible. You can do this.
Sure.
You can get there. The next person I want him to study is Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl.
Yes.
Maybe my favorite person in music ever.
So he's the drummer for Nirvana, which is great. Just like Andre Roberson is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. That's great. I want you to be more. It's time to be the Foo Fighters. It's time to develop your offensive game and become a lead singer guitar player, a guy that nobody even knew was there. Like, who knew that the drummer behind Nirvana, who you just basically just saw him banging his big head of hair, turning into a front man. We don't need him to be necessarily a front man, but we do need him to develop his offensive game, which would be
fighting Foo.
Foo Fighters.
He needs to fight some Foo. I understand.
Jay is moving about and like really scrambling to take care of this puppy.
I know. Hey, but here's mine. I got Anthony Morrow, and here's the
say Morrow.
Anthony Morrow. Morrow's is a friend of mine. So Anthony Morrow, and I really struggled with this because he's the guy at the end of his career. So I want to go two directions with this. Okay.
Okay.
The first one is I want him to study Mike Miller when he played with the Heat.
Yeah.
He sharpshooter
Sharpshooter.
Good teammate.
Great teammate.
Yeah. And was decent enough on defense to get on the court in big spots.
Yeah. And he loses shoes.
The only way that Morrow will play next year is if he can be decent enough on defense. And the hard thing, and why I don't feel like there's anybody he can really study, is like, how do you get quicker at 30, whatever he is, 31, 32? Maybe he's not that old, but he just kind of looks that old. It. But, and so that's why I moved to my second person that I want to have him study, and that's Caron Butler. And not because of basketball. Caron Butler, if you don't know his story, has franchised like 20 Burger Kings across the country.
Yeah.
And what Morrow needs to figure out is, what's next for me?
He's 30.
Yeah, 30 years old. What's next for me is what Anthony Morrow needs to be asking.
Why?
I think this is kind of winding down. Like, he'll go get another contract or two, but he needs to start thinking about the future.
I don't know. Because
you have a choice. You can become Caron Butler, where whenever you retire, you've got tons of different things and different assets where you're going to sustain for the rest of your life. Or you can become Antoine Walker, who filed bankruptcy like a year and a half after leaving the NBA.
There's no in between.
There is no in between.
He's not making millions of dollars right now.
Hey, those guys are making millions of dollars too, and a ton of them went broke. I don't see Morrow being that guy, but
yeah.
But I couldn't do it. I couldn't think of anybody that could actually round out his game as is. Like, I don't think he can become a better defender. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I don't think he will either. But I do think that he can play for a long time. Just because he can always shoot. He will always be one of the best shooters in the league. And there will always be a job for him. I just think shooters play forever. I just feel like he could play for another 6 years.
Plus, I feel like he's a pretty good teammate.
Yeah. The thing is that he will probably just need to go play for a bad team if he wants to play.
Yeah.
And he knows that. Like, he talked about that in his press conference. Like, he knows that he needs to sacrifice to play for a team like this.
And which is why I love him, man. I try to think of, when I was doing this whole thing, I was thinking of like somebody, I don't see him being a coach, but I was trying to think of, like, I almost said Kendrick Perkins. Yeah. And not in the sense of anything on the basketball court, but just in the sense of how you help a team out while not being able to play or being that great when you play, you know?
I think he's a good teammate. I just think that you're right. I just don't think he's not going to get any better, but they just may be able to find more spots for him to play.
Yeah. But a lot of the comps have been guys that at least are more serviceable defensively, right? Like, so JJ Redick isn't even close to a comp.
Oh my goodness. No.
Less on the offense.
Not even close.
Unless we're talking just offensively, but defensively, it's a total different game.
Yeah.
There are no comps, right? Like, I cannot think of anybody else that is similar to him that is on a team that matters.
Well, he's like Eddie House. Like, Eddie House was he was just a small Anthony Morrow.
I just wonder if Eddie House is in today's NBA is on the court.
Probably not.
You know, so anyway, that's
it. Because he couldn't defend.
And I don't want anybody to think, like, I love Morrow. Like, I love what he does. I love the energy he brings. I think they can figure out ways to play him in spots.
Yeah.
Let him go out there, chunk up 4 or 5 3, like that Warriors game when he did it in the finals. Like, come in and he just scores and then he just goes off.
Give him 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Heat check.
And so, yeah, I think those are the guys. It wasn't as exciting as last week's, but it is what it is.
All right. Mine is Enes Kanter.
Yes.
And I've been thinking, he really embraced the Stash Bros.
He did.
And there's that that picture, I think it was a shirt, where it's where they're the Mario Brothers.
Yes.
And so I'm really wanting him to play some Mario games, but there's a character in that I really want him to study. The defensive prowess of Waluigi in Mario Tennis.
Oh yeah!
When he gets at the front of the net,
he's my guy.
He's blocking shots.
Waluigi e Daisy.
Waluigi e Daisy.
That was my crew.
That's who he needs to. That's what he needs to check out. He needs to just be. He needs to be inspired by Waluigi's defense.
Do we think that Steven Adams looks more like Waluigi than anybody else?
Well.
His mustache.
Yeah, they're, well, I don't know. I was trying to figure out which one would be better because in that the duo, Cantor is Mario,
right?
And I really wanted to talk about that. Who they were actually were, which one deserved to be Mario. I don't know if it's Cantor.
Well, it's not.
No.
I mean, if there was a video game named after them, it wouldn't start with Enes Kanter.
I know.
He's even called Steven Adams his mentor, basically.
I know. So, I think that, I don't know. I do like Waluigi's mustache, and it's probably more Steven Adams.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to say.
Is it pointy or is it curly?
It's pointy.
Oh, never mind then.
It's like two, it's like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
if you're listening to this, I don't know how you could imagine, but imagine it's two straight lines.
Listen to the sounds of Luke's voice to find out what yes. Waluigi's mustache looks like.
All right, well, you guys want to move into some TQs? We got to move. We got so many TQs, man.
Okay.
And I just want Canada to play a ton of Mario Tennis. Nothing else, man. That's a great summer.
Another reason why I want Perk to come back is to
work with Cantor.
Work with Cantor.
Without a question.
I can't imagine those two people meeting.
Just beat the crap out of him in practice. That'd be great. Everybody wants Perk back. Perk, come back.
We need you.
We don't need you, but we want you.
No, I mean, I think we need him. Think of how mean they'd have been. Think about how mean they'd have been to the Warriors if Perk was on the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they'd just beat the crap out of him. And they'd put Perk in every once in a while just to screen Draymond really hard.
That'd be great. Man,
I miss him.
I miss you.
He's coming back.
Twitter questions!
All right. Our first Twitter question comes from @Sam_Hart89, who wants to know, what are the first three moves you make if Kevin doesn't come back next year? Mine, I move straight to my bed.
For one full day of weeping and to my pillow.
Yes. Second, I move to the 7-Eleven to buy several cases of beer. Three, I move never again from my bed.
I move to a different city.
Yeah.
As far as basketball moves go, I think the first thing that they need to do is look into trading Enes for some type of wing help. Or like draft picks.
Yeah, I was about to say, or draft picks is what I was thinking.
I think you renounce waiters' rights, and then you call out Sabrinas and say, hey, we have room, and we have, you know, we can pay you a little bit more right now, and we can promise you a pretty prominent role next to Russell Westbrook right now.
So if Durant leaves, will they have free agent space?
Yes.
Okay. So my thought was to go get a guy like, try to go get a guy like Kent Bazemore, and Nick Batum, because you mentioned it, and I think you're right, is you start building around Russ at this point. And I think the way you do that is to get pieces that fit. And that's why a Bazemore is a young guy that could develop.
I don't know exactly. I don't think they'll have enough space to get Batum.
Yeah, so that's what's crazy about this, is it really does hamstring you when these big guys that you can pay because they're your guys.
Yeah.
Leave is you don't get that much. And so that's why you have to move a Cantor.
If you moved a Cantor into cap space, then you could go get Batum or somebody like that.
And so I think that those are, you know, I don't know. I mean, you do have to try to get Alex Abrines. You have to definitely get rid of Waiters. He doesn't fit anymore on that team unless you think he's your second piece.
Yeah, I just don't think that you can pay him what he's going to demand on a team like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that you're going to have to, you just need to find more shooting is what you need to do. That's why it makes sense to go get Bazemore or Batum or Abrines. Somebody, you just need more shooting on the perimeter. Because you're losing one of the best shooters in the league in Durant. I think this question doesn't make sense to even answer, though, because I just don't think that he's leaving.
Yeah, listening to you and Royce's pod the other day, too, Royce, I think, said 97% chance he comes back. And he said the bigger question, and this is where I've kind of come in the last few weeks as well, is does he take the full contract now, which ends up saving the team a lot of space and money to get.
Yep.
But to leave $80 million on the table?
Yes, that is a part of it. But he also, I mean, Durant understands that it takes sacrifice to win championships.
It's true.
If he wants to get all the money he can, you know, he's earned that right to do that. But Like, you just look at all the stars that have won championships. They've all sacrificed. All those Heat guys, they sacrificed. Steph Curry has inadvertently sacrificed.
Not intentional.
To build this team that they have right now. And if everybody makes market value, then you can't keep this team.
Yeah.
And so we'll just have to see. Jay has left the room probably 12 times during this podcast.
Let's move to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Shannon Z. Ward, who wants to know, is Kyle Singler a homeless man's Jeff Green, poor at everything, not average at anything?
I think that's a great comp. Just a really, really horrible Jeff Green. That's great. Yeah. He's the white.
He's not even a poor man's Jeff Green. He's a homeless man's Jeff.
That's right. He's the white emo Jeff Green.
I like that.
What else can be said?
Like, I don't know, man. I'm so Kyle Singler. What's going to be funny is we just are going to trash him all off season. He's going to have this like renaissance year where he changes his game and becomes the guy we need him to be, and we're all going to be like, well, maybe he's not. Maybe he's better than Jeff Green.
What's going to be funny is when I start hanging out with him at the pool more and we start to be best friends.
Hey, you know what's crazy about this is like to be the homeless man's Jeff Green, which is Jeff Green's like the homeless man's every small forward.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Green is not good.
He's okay.
Yeah.
He can play though.
Yes, he can play and Singler can't. But no, you know what I'm saying? Like Jeff Green is not somebody that you would have a homeless man's version of, right? Like most time it's like,
well, we have one.
We used to make the joke that Iguodala was the homeless man's LeBron James, right? Just to get Taylor frustrated.
Yeah.
That's the homeless man's version of LeBron, which is still good.
Yeah, I mean, it's very good.
But to be the homeless man's Jeff Green.
Not good.
Yeah, that does exist. The thing that you can't have a homeless man's version of is Kyle Singler.
No, I think we do.
It's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, about to say.
Yeah, all of us.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's a great comp.
Let's move on to our next.
This should be on his basketball reference page. The poor man's Jeff, the homeless man's Jeff Green.
Yes. Let's move on to our next Twitter question.
It's going
to
be on my Twitter profile now.
It comes from at bbbbbbbbbb2345, who wants to know, in lieu of the draft, who are your biggest draft bust / steals in recent history?
You know, one of the things I was talking about a few weeks, probably last week when the Cavs looked just trash and they're going to get beaten five and whatever is, man, the Anthony Bennett.
Oh boy.
Draft is one of the worst ones I can remember.
Oh boy.
Like even, cause do you think of some of the greatest busts, like Michael Olowokandi, whenever he was drafted and like, but at least there was like an idea that, oh man, this is, could be the center of the future. Well, and
Kwame Brown, they both got second contracts.
Yeah. Anthony Bennett's not in the NBA.
He didn't even make it through
2 years.
He didn't make his rookie deal.
So, for me, it's one of those things, like, there wasn't a whole lot of great pieces in that draft early.
No, it was not a good draft.
But if they'd have at least drafted Oladipo.
Just take Nerlens. Take Nerlens. He was the guy who was slotted at one. He was hurt, but just take Nerlens. Like, just.
Either way, you're in better shape as a team right now than
you
were.
And he's not, I mean, Nerlens isn't great.
And then the next year, so they had two back-to-back picks, and if Kevin Love isn't on this team by the end of the summer, like they would have had two number one picks with nothing to return really of them. Isn't that nuts?
It's kind of crazy. So some some recent steals. 2014, Rodney Hood went 23 in the draft, which was just a complete steal. And then there were a couple really good steals in the second round. Nikola Jokic went 41. That dude is really good for Denver.
Now, which one of the two Eastern European guys is he? Is he's the not, good one or the other one?
He's not Nurkic.
Okay.
He's good. Super skilled. Jordan Clarkson also went 46. In that same draft, Nick Stauskas went 8, and Adrian Payne went 15, which he's been awful.
Well, Draymond was a...
Let me go to that draft.
Sorry, go ahead.
Because that second round was insane. It was 2012. You had guys like Thomas Robinson, who went 5, who is like barely an NBA player. Fab Mello, who was out. He went 22nd. So in the second round, there were 4 players that have turned out to be incredible pieces. Jay Crowder went 34. Draymond Green went 35. Chris Middleton went 39. And Will Barton went 40.
That's a tremendous... second half of the draft.
I don't know if there's another four guys like that in any draft in the second round where you have these four guys who are all starting caliber players. And then you had like Damian Lillard went 6, which was a steal. Evan Fournier was 20. Andre Drummond, who should have been a top 3 pick, went 9.
That'd be a fun one to redraft sometime this summer.
It would be.
Royce White, you remember that whole thing? Jeez.
It's crazy. 2011 was pretty interesting as well. You had guys like Jan Vesely who went 6. You had Jimmer Fredette who went 10. Derek Williams was the second pick. It was a weird draft. And then you have like the guys in the teens who should have all been at the top. Klay Thompson was 11. Kawhi was 15. You had Vucevic who went 16th. Kenneth Fareed was 22nd. Jimmy Butler was 30. You even had Reggie Jackson who went 24th in that draft.
Chandler Parsons was 38.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you don't want to be at the top of that draft because of the way it was scouted. It was just horrible.
You know, I was listening to Chad Ford was on Russillo and Cannell this week.
Yeah.
And I was just listening to him briefly as I was driving back from the Apple store when they did nothing for me. Sorry, it's miffed and peeved.
Whoa.
So I was driving back and they're talking about this draft, man. And, you know, Boston's been compiling all these picks. And one of the things they're saying is they're going to package these picks. And the number 3 pick is nothing this year.
It's very uninspiring.
Yeah. And so Chad Ford said, like, for all the work they've done to amass all these picks, like, it really doesn't do anything for them that they need. Like, they can't put these picks together and get a player.
It hasn't paid off.
That's worth anything. And he said, there may be probably most important pick they have is the Nets first rounder for next year.
Right.
So if the Nets are trash again. Did they give all of that for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce?
Yeah.
What?
They thought they could do
it. Who was the GM at that point?
Billy. They really thought they could do something.
All of that to set that up.
they really thought they could do something. Because, yeah. I mean, they had a squad. Like, they had, you know, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Brooke Lopez. Like that's a squad. But it wasn't.
No, it was not.
Like, it had all the names. It had all the flash. It had all the... It was... Everyone thought that they could actually do something, but it turns out that all those players were past their prime, basically, besides Lopez.
Some of the hard guys to deal with that are not really – I mean, it kind of depends on what you would qualify them. If they're drafted somewhere different in the draft, they would be something – it wouldn't be quite as a bust. But if you look in that – what is that, 2011 draft that we talked about?
Yeah.
You have Derek Williams going number 2. Like, Derek Williams is a decent NBA player. He's drafted – 18?
Yeah, everybody's just like,
yeah.
Nobody talks about
it. Yeah, but drafted number 2 over Klay Thompson, over both the Morris brothers, Kawhi, over Kawhi Leonard, over
Vucevic,
Tobias Harris, you know, like Fareed. So many guys that are way better than him.
Yeah,
that just went later in that round. Anyway, it's just funny, like, the draft is such a crapshoot a lot of ways. Like, very rarely are there guys that you're like, okay, like Anthony Davis, everybody knew he's going to be good.
Right.
And Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, I think, can be really good as number 2 in that draft. But then go back further through useful. That draft. And I don't know, man. It's fun. And the draft comes up next week,
next Thursday.
Next Thursday, a week from
Can't
yesterday.
Wait.
All right.
Wes Johnson, 2010, 4th pick. This is a horrible pick. Epe Udo, 6. Cole Aldrich, 11.
Gosh, that draft was
the
horrid.
Beat in 2009 was the second pick of the draft. Guys that were chosen after Thabit, Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, Drew Holiday, Ty Lawson, Jeff Teague, DeMar Carroll, Draymond Green. Or Danny Green. Not Draymond Green, sorry.
All right. Guys, speaking of the draft.
Danny was a bust until he went to San Antonio.
Yeah, dude. Did he go overseas? He was D-leaguer. He was D-leaguer.
Speaking of the draft.
Nick Batum went 25th. Steal.
At Kyle Platt wants to know, are there any interesting prospects in the second round Presti might be eyeing?
There's a guy out of UNLV named Patrick McCaw.
McCaw!
He's got a great name. He's 6'6". He's got 3-and-D potential. There's Presti wouldn't touch him. Most people, he may not even get drafted. But Caris LeVert out of Michigan, he's 6'7". He shot 45% from 3. He can play defense. but he's had like every foot surgery that anyone's ever had. If he wasn't hurt, he'd be a first rounder.
It's hard for me this year because the Thunder don't have a pick. I've paid so little attention to the draft.
They're going to buy a pick. They're going to get a pick.
Second rounder.
They're going to buy one or they're going to trade. They can get in the first round. When Alex and I have talked about this, there's three teams that have three first round picks.
Phoenix, Boston.
And they're not going to take all of them.
Phoenix, Boston, and
Denver.
Denver.
Yeah, they're not. They're not going to. I mean, all three of those teams aren't going to take three. They may consolidate and like move up. But if they want to, if they're looking to trade, the Thunder want to get into the first round.
Yeah,
and I think there's a good chance that they do. So, but those, I mean, those kind of guys, like you're looking for wings, basically.
And that's just those are cap. Those are high, you know, low risk, high reward picks in those 20s and 30s, right? Like the contracts are really beneficial for the team to fill a roster spot. Plus, you can put them in the D League, and the way that Thunder are using it like a farm league, like it just kind of makes an easy transition. Which I don't know why I do this, and I'm not sure he'll ever play, but I got to watch Dakari Johnson's D League highlights. That guy actually has skill on a basketball court.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely in the pipeline.
I just don't think, I don't know where he would ever fit on this team. Maybe when Cantor leaves or something.
Yeah, if they trade Cantor or somebody, he may have a shot. But I really don't see him ever playing for the Thunder.
Yeah.
He's just in the
piece.
In the pipe.
And an asset at some point, right?
Possibly.
Possibly.
All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @FakeTrentWilson, who wants to know, what NBA team is most likely to blow it all up or should blow it all up?
The Nuggets.
Yeah, it's time.
Like, go get a pick for Gallo or go get somebody for Gallo.
Malone Wilson, work with a young team. Get
Wilson
some
Chandler, go trade him. Kenneth Faried, bye-bye. Just let all the get assets for all of those guys and let them go play for teams that can win now. And
I think you have to ask yourselves what defines like what's your goal, what's success? Because if your success is just making the playoffs, like I don't think you blow up the Hawks.
No.
You know, like that they're a good team.
No,
it depends. If your whole goal is championship, you don't ever blow it up. You just got to tweak, right? But there are guys at the end of the playoffs who really, especially in the East, that you're like, Why are you trying so hard to do this? Like, you're literally, you've got to blow it. Because the tank option is, I don't like it, obviously, but man, like the Kings, how long are you going to not be in the top three picks and not make the playoffs?
The problem with them is that they haven't been in the top three picks. They've been in like
and so
8, 9, 10, 11. And
put Cousins out there and get rid of everybody else. But they keep putting patchwork teams together that are just good enough not to get a pick.
Well, that's the problem with the Kings. They suck. they're perpetually the Kings, and I love them just the way they are.
All right,
keep doing your thing, Kings. Go get some free agents.
Let's get all those mid-level free agents.
Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @thinkofacard, who wants to know, if given the chance to trade Harden and Adams straight up, would you?
No.
Be honest.
I think
just because I don't like Harden and because of the fit.
Yeah, but I mean, it comes down to now the fit. And obviously, if this was like 2 years ago, like it made total sense to make that deal. But as far as fit goes, there's not enough basketballs for James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant, plus Enes Kanter, plus, you know, Dion Waiters to make everybody happy. Like, that team just doesn't make any sense. In the context of James Harden being on the Thunder, is he a guy that is going to be a liability on defense against the Warriors? And I think that's a pretty big question within all of this. And I don't know. Maybe he could play better if he's not exerting so much effort on offense. But I don't know. I don't trust that. I do trust Steven Adams against the Warriors and against everybody else. I think he fits with this team. He doesn't care anything about stats, but he's also a guy that can put up stats. Like, he can score, he can pass, he can block shots. He's really one of the best centers in the league. And if we're talking about making a swap for a guy who, one, needs the ball in his hand all the time, and two, is not going to be happy with a bench role. Like, there's not a fit or a role for him in the context of who he is today on the Thunder. There's just not. You can't just ask him to come back and be a role player for the Thunder, because that's what he would have to be. There's just not enough basketballs to go around.
Yeah, and the culture fit is the biggest fit, right?
Well, that's why he's gone.
Yeah.
That's why he's gone. He's not fit into this. He's definitely just, he wants everything to be about him and being, you know, in Houston with Mike D'Antoni, he can have that. But in Oklahoma City with Billy Donovan and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and Steven Adams, I obviously wouldn't have Adams then, but like, it's a horrible fit. But it would the Thunder be more talented? Sure. But the fit in trying to win a championship, it doesn't make sense at this point in time. If they had kept him and they had, like, if he, like, you're just our sixth man, you're our Manu Ginobili, like, I think that can make sense. But now I would not make the deal, because I just think it would be a really combustible situation in the locker room.
Were you being honest?
I'm being totally honest.
Okay.
And I'm always a homer, too, so, like, take that into account.
All right. Our next Twitter question comes from at Mikey Barra, who wants to know, is it easier to keep Singler and rehab him or ship him with a second? Related, is it easier to make him change his haircut or to raise his 3-point percentage?
So I feel like Singler's going to be this is our summer of Singler. Like, last year was our summer of Cantor.
Yeah. Except for, like, nobody really thinks he's good.
Sure. Yeah. And so what I would say...
He doesn't have definable skills.
What I would say is that my dog is eating my microphone cord. I think you don't have a choice with Singler.
I think they'll have a choice. I think they'll have choices.
What do you mean? You think they could get rid of him?
I think so. I think there's deals out there that make sense for other teams as well. For them to try to rehab him and the Thunder just to get a roster spot, basically.
Yeah. What do you think Thunder do?
I think they keep him. I think that they try. I think that they like him. I think they like the kind of mentality that he has. I think that they like the kind of work ethic that he has. I think that they like that he went to Duke.
You can tell the team. You can tell the team.
They like him.
Yeah. They cheer for him. They want him to, you know, it's not like Reggie.
I think that to them, I don't know that I believe this. I think to them, it's just more worth it to them to try to rehab him and see if he can, you know, find that magic that he had in Detroit rather than just let him go.
I think you talked about that with Royce in that pod. Is he is what you want. He could be the 3-and-D guy. He has the potential to be the player you need in that.
He should have been able to give Durant a breather against the Warriors. Like, that's what he was here for. He should have been able to do that, but he was not that guy this year, and I think they'll try again.
Yeah, we'll see.
And if he's not, then I think that they have other guys that can maybe step in.
Yeah.
And
Houston.
Be that guy. We'll see. All right.
Okay. Oh, and his haircut. I don't know, man.
I think you just go with it.
I think it's a better chance to raise his 3-point percentage.
I think so. I think that's the easier thing to do.
That haircut.
Cut my wrist and black my eyes. All right, Luke.
Luke's gone.
Sorry. Do we want to ask our final?
It's an emo song.
Yeah, it is.
What's the song? What is that?
I don't know. I don't know who sings it.
I don't remember either.
The part where he goes, like, it's just the guy, the screamer.
Yeah.
That just goes, gah, 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 gah.
Yeah, that used to be me.
That was you. That was Andrew in the band. When he was in the band, he was a screamer.
I was a screamer. If any of you know the name of that song, just let us know in the comment section.
So what are the words that you were saying?
Cut my wrist.
You're not even remotely talking into your microphone.
I'm sorry. I want to know. Do we want to do our next? We have two more Twitter questions.
Bring it, man.
I'll get them.
Come
fast.
On. We can knock them out.
Complex Clarity wants to know, who's going to have the best summer? Cantor's World Tour, Katie's Olympics, or Russell Westbrook's fashion drop-ins, or Presti's I Told You So campaign. Go!
It's the FU everybody Presti campaign.
Presti campaign.
Yeah, he's going to...
Because when KD signs, they're going to be loaded going into next year.
And then they get a discount on Dion Waiters, and then he just
Throws the middle finger and walks out the room.
Continues the FU tour of Sam Presti. Can't wait.
All right. Next and final Twitter question comes from at Dank Rutka.
I would say Dan Krutka.
And I refuse to ever say that.
Dank Rutka.
It's Dank Rutka.
Danker Utka.
He wants to know, is there a surge trade that makes sense for the Thunder?
So we have two options here. We can go full on trade calls right now. And you can be Sam Presti.
Let's do it.
Okay. Trade calls. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Hey, Sam. It's your old buddy, Rob Hennigan.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, I got an offer for Ibaka.
All right, let me hear it.
We'll trade you Victor Oladipo, CJ Watson, and the vampire Jason Smith for Serge Ibaka.
Click.
Oh, Sam. Oh, okay. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello,
Tim Connolly here. Denver Nuggets.
Hey, Tim.
Hello. We will trade you Wilson Chandler and Will Barton for Serge Ibaka. We're not even asking for Kyle Singler.
Well, here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to give you Kyle Singler.
Hey, come on, man.
Hold on. I got my research people out.
You've got a deep voice, Sam. What happened to you?
I'm going to get my research out. I don't know.
I'm going to get my research out.
Did you listen to him on the Moj's pod yet?
I'm going to take that trade.
Oh, wow.
I like Will Barton a lot.
Yeah. You basically are adding two wings that can play against the Warriors along with basically you're putting an investment in Steven Adams.
And there's a ton of, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that you're going to have Steven Adams. That's a lot of expectation for him, but I think he can do it.
Yeah.
And a lot of expectation for Kevin, because what happens in those lineups is it's a lot of Steven Adams and Kevin as your bigs.
Kevin is going to primarily be a four in that situation.
Which he can be.
Yeah.
Against the Warriors.
Oh, yeah. All right, next one.
Gosh, man, I like Will Barton. He's 25, too, which I like.
And anyway. And his contract is ridiculous. God. He's making like $3 million a year for like the next two or three years.
Scorer.
Oh, my gosh. I like him.
And Wilson Chandler. I love him defensively. Anyway.
Yeah, dude. He's a dude.
He's a dude.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello?
Ring.
Hello?
Masai Ujiri.
Hello, Masai.
I'd like to trade you players.
All right, let me hear.
Tabari Carroll for Serge Ibaka. Straight up. Let's do this.
Oh, give me a second. What if trades had to be made as quickly as we're talking? Oh, God. How long do I have? 5 seconds? Let's
make it happen.
No.
Oh. Okay.
I like DeMar Carroll. He had a really injured season this year.
He scares the crap out of me. There's no way they do that.
He makes me nervous.
There's no way they do that. All right, last one. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
Danny Ainge.
Hey, Danny.
Hello, we've got all the draft assets in the world!
Oh, my God.
Oh, all right. I'm going to make you a serious offer for Serge.
All right, let me hear it.
Jay Crowder and Jonas Drebko's contract.
You just keep throwing in all my favorite people.
Unguaranteed. He's non-guaranteed, but he's also very playable. Like he's good. I really don't want
to
get
Danny, I don't need you to tell me who's playable.
For Serge Ibaka. Jay Crowder, Jonas Jerebko for Ibaka.
Give me just a second, Danny.
I know. I don't know that these other teams would do this, but I think they would. I think the Celtics would love to have Serge Ibaka on their team.
Yeah, at that point, you'd probably try to get some sort of pick, right? Like, I don't know if that.
Are you kidding
works,
me? Do you know the value of Crowder's contract?
You know, but if you could give me the 16th pick or the
give me a second round pick, Sam. We're not playing around here.
I'll take it.
Of course, you will.
Jay Crowder would be a great fit.
And I think Drebko can play. Yeah.
If you, I mean,
in my head, I'm thinking of a player. I've got to research Jonas Jerebko to make sure he's the right guy.
He's got a lot of hair gel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. He's Swedish?
Yeah, he is.
That's weird.
He's got lots of watches.
Huge watch guy.
So I think if there's a trade on the table, I may think about it. But I think that
They're not going to deal
for me over the course of this postseason is you realize, like, even though he's flawed and has problems where I just want to bang my head on the wall, Serge is huge.
They're not trading
huge in a series like the Warriors series.
So they are not trading him.
Not happening.
Hey guys,
not happening.
Are you miffed and are you peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
I'll be real quick. So I went to the Apple Store yesterday. My phone, all of a sudden, so I downloaded the newest software update, 9.3.2 or whatever.
Yeah.
Barely picks up Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
Oh, God.
Like, it just, like, I'm always on data right now in my house, my own house, and I'm on no Wi-Fi. And it's driving me freaking crazy. And so guess what? Couldn't do anything about it. They're just like, yeah, try to, you know, do a clean start of your phone. And then if it's not that, then it's probably a hardware problem. So you need to buy a new phone. I'm like, dude, this phone's a year and a half old. I'm going to kill you.
You're dead. You're dead meat.
You're dead to me, man. No. But, you know, it's one of those things. Your phone sucks.
Dude, get real. You're meefed at your dog, man.
No, I like my dog.
No. Stop.
You walked in and you're like, watch out, it peed on the floor. And guess what? It also pooped.
Also on the floor.
I found the poop.
I am a little miffed and peeved. And I think it was just the reality that I'm like, you forget how much work a puppy is.
You have been up and down through this whole pod.
Yeah.
I have.
You have been out of the room, in the room, out of the room, sitting down, standing up, walking around, finding that dog.
Huffing and puffing.
You've been mad. You've been miffed.
You've been
super peeved. Real miffed.
I was not mentally prepared for what a puppy brings. It's been, I don't know, 24 years since I've been around a puppy of my own.
Yeah.
We got a puppy when I was a fifth grader, so I guess it wasn't that long. Anyway, but he's fine. He's cute. He's awesome. He's really smart. He already knows his name. Yeah. He knows no, and he just doesn't want to do it, but he knows those words.
Yeah.
So that's my puppy moment.
Great. Andrew, you meefed?
Yeah, I forgot to include this part of the story, the opossum story.
There's more part two.
You talking about the opossum?
The opossum. So part two of the opossum story. My wife gets up in the middle of the night to look for the possum to see if it's still there. And my dog is in the house now. And she, as my wife is looking out the window, rubs against my wife's leg. And she just screams because she thought that the possum had entered our home. It did not. Also, the possum literally scared the crap out of Chloe. She had pooped in the house that night, which is very rare. And then not only had she pooped, you know the thing that dogs do where they drop their bottom to the ground and then they drag their bottom?
Oh, yes.
And they use their front paws?
Don't tell me.
So she got on our living room rug and she had drug her poopy bottom all over our living room rug. And there were just the long squiggle line across the entire rug when I woke up, and I was so miffed. I mean, it was a literal
that freaking possum,
stupid possum,
ruined everything.
It's the possum's fault, and she was just horrified.
Is she good going back outside now?
She pooped herself. Yeah. She's out there eating frogs and all that business. Thanks for listening to our podcast. No, wait. Luke's got to read iTunes reviews.
Yeah, I got some iTunes reviews.
That's too good to not just quit on.
I know.
Some iTunes.
First is from OK Meyer, who says, great podcast. It's great for someone who lives out of state to get an hour of great Thunder talk. Thanks for all the content you all put out. Hey, you're welcome, OK Meyer.
And thanks for the review.
Hey, thanks, man. 5 stars. Great. The next one comes from Reed PB, who says, clowns making balloon animals. And this is long.
Get ready.
Get ready for it. He says, I love this podcast. The guys are some of the most knowledgeable out there, not just on Thunder basketball, but also on general NBA affairs. That doesn't change the fact that their personal lives are a mess. Andrew Schlecht, fresh off his big break in the entertainment business as a suspect on Cops, seems to be the glue that holds the show together, which is a skill he undoubtedly learned on the inside. If you can ignore his frequent breaks to snort another line in the middle of the show, which makes his voice more high and crackly than a 13-year-old boy, he's at the top of the game. John Death Dragon Ham is known for bringing his hot, hot heat to the show. But offstage, he's drowning in his cold, cold personality. If giving the chance, the choice to talk to the Double D about his life or stare at a wall for 20 minutes, I would take the wall. This guy is more boring than an episode of Golden Girls, which makes his motorcycle-obsessed lifestyle and full-body reptilian tattoo even more surprising. Alex Spears knows wingmen even better than he knows where to score tricks. When not providing deep insight into Thunderball and the free agent market, he's crafting his definitive guide to scoring affordable sex in mid-sized cities. Which, if he can ever get out of the grip of Penguin Publishers, will be the next Disney Pixar animated summer smash. This is essential because when he's not writing, he's spending the pennies he earns from potting on the group's nightly games of Keystone Light-fueled beer pong games. He drinks to forget because inside he's bubbling with a fury of 1,000 sandstorms since his daddy never loved him. Anthony Slater is very cool. This review is written by Anthony Slater. Thank you.
Anthony Slater.
Thank you, Anthony Slater. Read.
I left for like 8 minutes to do some stuff around the house while that pile was read. It came back still being read.
And our last one comes from Brunsvold P., who says, music to my ears. I am from Montana and love listening to the pod. Not only do these guys have great content and awesome opinions, but they literally make me laugh out loud. You know, mouthful of Lucky Charms and almost choke myself because I'm laughing. Hopefully there's still room on hashtag Waiters Island because I would like some beachfront property. Hashtag Thunder Up. Hashtag Possum on the Patio.
Possum on the Patio.
Screw you, Possum. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.